Do you remember the first time you had a hunger for God's Word? Do you remember discovering all of those amazing truths? Do you still have that hunger? When I became a believer, I think I was around 18 when I was given a Good News for Modern Man Bible, gold with little pictures in it. I remember reading through all the T books, Timothy, Titus, Thessalonians, all in one night, just gobbled it up. It was just a hunger for it. It was all new and convicting. I believe that one of the major contributors to our diminished hunger for the Word of God is that our understanding of what it is has been attacked and weakened by scholars and humanists, calling it a fairy tale. And worse yet, by so-called Christians who insist that only a small percentage of it comes from God. To truly appreciate what we hold in our hands, these Bibles, I brought one today because I don't want to be caught without my sword like last time. To truly appreciate what these are, I want to start from eternity future and look back. Any time after the New Jerusalem, the New Heaven, the New Earth, hopefully you're all familiar with it. If you're not, you should have been at discipleship class last Wednesday, because we did talk about that. We also talked about eternal torment. But anyways, the new heaven, new earth. In this new place, there's the Father, who's always is, unchanging Father. We have the holy angels, and we have the resurrected Jesus, and we have the glorified saints, all of us, indwelt with the Holy Spirit, and we have this old book. An old book written by over 40 different men, from shepherds to kings, over a span of 1,500 years, all of them inspired by God to deliver the greatest message ever, an eternal message. It is the standard to which we are held to account, and so much more. Matthew 5:18 says, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass from the law. And Matthew 24:34, shall I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. And Luke 16:17, it is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one stroke of a letter of the law to fail. This morning, we will be taking a quick look at the longest chapter in the Bible. When the psalmist takes on the task of describing the wonders of God's word, it takes him 176 verses to describe it. This psalm is constructed as an acrostic, where each letter of the Hebrew alphabet, that's 22 letters, is used to start each verse. Verses 1 to 8 all start with Aleph, and verses 9 to 16 all start with Bet, and so on as you go through the alphabet. There should be a slide that comes up now. Of the 176 verses, 173 of them speak to God's word, speak to the word of God. In the psalm, there are 9 basic words used to describe the scriptures. We have law. It's used 25 times, and it means to teach or direct. We have word, dabar, used 24 times. The idea is of the spoken word, God's word revealed to man. We have imrah, word, used 19 times, similar in meaning to dabar, yet a different term. The word can be anything God has spoken, commanded, or promised. And judgments or ordinances, miftam, used 23 times. It means to judge, determine, regulate, order, and discern. We have testimonies, adut, used 23 times. The word is related to the word for witness. And commandments, miswa, used 22 times. The word emphasizes the straight authority of what is said. We have statutes, hikwin, used 21 times. Engrave or inscribe, the idea of the written word of God. We have precepts, quidim, or something like that, used 21 times. It is from the sphere of an officer or overseer, and a man who is responsible to look closely into a situation and take action. And we have ways or path, derech, used 13 times, way, path, road, or highway. There are 22 sections, one for each letter of the Hebrew alphabet, of 8 verses each. And this is where I chose the title for the sermon from. The number 8 means new beginnings. Kind of ties in with our John series, and we'll continue on with our next series in Judges. But every day we have a new beginning. Regardless of how badly we have messed up today, every morning brings a new day to honor our Heavenly Father. The fuel we need to start each day is the Word of God. I hope that as we go through this psalm, that it will encourage you to continue in Pastor Stacy's challenge of reading God's Word every morning. Have you guys been taking on that challenge? Okay, don't answer. It appears to me that this psalm is written over the span of the psalmist's life, like excerpts from his diary. He had a persistent and unfading love for God's Word, in spite of great persecution and affliction throughout his life. The psalmist answers one of the most frequent questions asked by Christians: how do I know the will of God for my life? Ephesians 5:15-17. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So if you could open your Bibles to Psalm 119, we'll be going through 1 to 8. Psalm 119. Actually, if you take your Bible and you open it up in the middle, you'll be pretty close. It's because Psalm 117, the shortest chapter in the Bible, two verses. Then you got 118, which is actually the technical middle of the Bible. Then you got Psalm 119. So you should be pretty close. How blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. How blessed are those who observe his testimonies, who seek him with all their heart. They also do no unrighteousness. They walk in his ways. You have ordained your precepts, that we should keep them diligently. Oh, that my ways may be established to keep your statutes. Then I shall not be ashamed when I look upon all your commandments. I shall give thanks to you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments. I shall keep your statutes. Do not forsake me utterly. The psalmist feels that he would like to be the one who keeps all of God's laws. He would like to know the blessings that come to those who walk in the law of the Lord. But he feels ashamed. When he sees his life in the light of God's commandments, and he desires for God to direct his path to keep God's law, but he knows that he cannot do it on his own. Paul describes this very problem in Romans 3, verse 19. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be closed and all the world may become accountable to God. Because of the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For through the law comes the knowledge of sin. In Psalm 32, 1 and 2, blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When we walk in the way of the Lord, it blesses him, and he blesses us. Which brings us to point number one. We're already there. One point down. We please our Lord when we seek to walk in his ways with all of our heart. The only way we can walk with the Lord is through Jesus. Just as Jesus told Thomas in John 14:6, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Bet. verses 9 to 16. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. With all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Your word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. With my lips I have told of all the ordinances of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and regard your ways. I shall delight in your statutes. I shall not forget your word. The psalmist feels delight in the way that God's word is directing him in his struggles to stay pure and to live for God. The psalmist cites four things that he did. First, he memorized it. Two, he spoke God's word with his mouth. Three, he rejoiced in it more than anything else. And fourth, he meditated on it. What tools do you give the Holy Spirit to use in your life? You wouldn't want to change a transmission. Actually, most of you wouldn't want to change a transmission. But you wouldn't want to change a transmission with just a pair of pliers. And when we sit there and say, okay, I know John 3:16, or I know Psalm 119, verse 11, right? Everyone knows Psalm 119, 11, right? I've hidden your word in your heart. What tools do we give the Holy Spirit to recall into our life in all situations? The more we have the Lord's word, the more the Holy Spirit will call up into our life in situations. The Holy Spirit can change your life with just John 3:16, but it is to your benefit to give the Holy Spirit more verses to recall in times of need. And compared to the insanely insignificant information we store away in our minds, in light of God's word that has eternal value, should we not be investing more into God's word? Which brings us to point number two. We please our Lord when we memorize his word and meditate on it. So our memory verse, our memory verse for today is a triple score. Three for the price of one. Memory verse is Matthew 24:35. That's one of the bonus ones. Our memory verse is the easy one, Mark 13:31, right? 1-3-3-1. Easy to remember. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. So you get Matthew 24:35 as a bonus and Luke 21:33 to have on your list there. I believe that John mentions God's original manuscript in Revelation 20, verse 12. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged according to the things that were written in the books, according to their deeds. God does not judge man based upon an unknown law. That would be unjust. God has given us his law in the written form. He has demonstrated his voice in creation, revealed himself that way to lead us to his word, to his truth. Okay, go on to Gemal. Gemal, verses 17 to 24. Deal bountifully with your servant, that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes, that I may behold wonderful things from your law. I am a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. My soul is crushed with longing after your ordinances at all times. You rebuke the arrogant, the cursed, who wander from your commandments. Take away reproach and contempt from me, for I observe your testimonies. Even though princes sit and talk against me, your servant meditates on your statutes. Your testimonies also are my delight. They are my counselors. The psalmist feels pressured by the intellects of the world, that his perspective is so wrong that he must be a stranger here. You sometimes feel like that in our world? That we don't belong? Our perspective is way out? Seems to be increasingly so, especially in higher educated circles. In light of the world's so-called wisdom, the psalmist trusts in the Lord to open his eyes to the Word, which brings us to point number three. We please our Lord when we trust Him to open our eyes when we study His Word. Which God does. Daleth, prayer for understanding. Verses 25 to 32. Psalmist is praying, my soul cleaves to the dust. Revive me according to your word. I have told of my ways, and you have answered me. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts, so I will meditate on your wonders. My soul weeps because of grief. Strengthen me according to your word. Remove the false way from me, and graciously grant me your law. I have chosen the faithful way. I have placed your ordinances before me. I cling to your testimonies, O Lord. Do not put me to shame. I shall run the way of your commandments, for you will enlarge my heart. The psalmist feels unworthy and stricken, waiting for the Lord to prove God's word as right. He trusts that the Lord will give him the ability to carry on, which is point number four. We please our Lord when we humble ourselves and choose God's way over our own. Verses 33 to 40. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall observe it to the end. Give me understanding that I may observe your law and keep it with all my heart. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to dishonest gain. Turn away my eyes from looking at vanity and revive me in your ways. Establish your word to your servant as that which produces reverence for you. Turn away my reproach, which I dread, for your ordinances are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me through your righteousness. The psalmist knows that he needs the Lord and his word to keep his path straight, to avoid the traps of the world. We live in a world engineered to trap us. It is designed to stimulate our senses and take us off the path that God has laid out for us, leaving us with worthless junk. That's not to say that we should go and become monks and live in a monastery and isolate ourselves. One of the common points I always bring up is Paul liked to go to Ephesus, where temple prostitutes would roam the streets freely. Actually, that was a large part of Ephesus. And he liked to go to Corinth, which was one of the crudest places in the Roman Empire. And he walked and managed to walk through these places and keep a pure heart and focus on the Lord without having it take him off the Lord's path. And this is what, oh boy, I wasn't going to go here, but I will. This is what separates Christians from other religions. Other religions would have you cover up women and hide them away and not allow them to be seen, whereas Christianity has, no, we have the Holy Spirit in us to allow us to have the strength to walk in purity in regardless of the situations we're in. There's a difference. It's a huge difference. Let's focus more on us being faithful as opposed to the world blocking everything out. Staying pure. If you don't get the idea of what I was trying to convey, talk to me afterwards, please. So, we're going to move. Oh, point number five. We please our Lord when we are obedient to apply what we know and long for. Sorry, know and long for more. Okay. Vav. 41-48. May your loving kindness also come to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your word. So I will have an answer for him who reproaches me, for I trust in your word. And do not take the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I wait for your ordinances. So I will keep your law continually forever and ever. And I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts. I will also speak of your testimonies before kings and shall not be ashamed. I shall delight in your commandments, which I love. And I shall lift up my hands to your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. The psalmist feels that everyone should know the saving power of God's word and will not shrink back, but will give an answer. 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. When we share what Jesus and his word has done in our life, it is a vehicle that carries the power of God's truth into another person's life. If you feel this way, talk to Pastor Stacy about sharing your testimony in the next coming month. Which brings us to point number 6, zooming along. We please our Lord when we cherish our salvation and do not shrink back in sharing it. Zane. Verse 49 to 56. Remember the word to your servant in which you have made me hope. This is my comfort and my affliction, that your word has revived me. The arrogant utterly deride me, yet I do not turn aside from your law. I have remembered your ordinances from of old, O Lord, and comfort myself. Burning indignation has seized me because of the wicked who forsake your law. Your statutes are my song in the house of my pilgrimage. O Lord, I remember your name in the night and keep your law. This has become mine, that I observe your precepts. The psalmist feels that his only hope and comfort in the face of ridicule and lawlessness comes from God's word. Point number 7. We please our Lord when we find our comfort only in God's word. 57 to 64. The Lord is my portion. I have promised to keep your words. I sought your favor with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your word. I considered my ways and turned my feet to your testimonies. I hastened and did not delay to keep your commandments. The cords of the wicked have encircled me, but I have not forgotten your law. At midnight I shall rise to give thanks to you because of your righteous ordinances. I am a companion of all those who fear you, and of those who keep your precepts. The earth is full of your loving kindness, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. The psalmist feels fully satisfied with God and his word and seeks fellowship with those who are like-minded. Do we find comfort and strength in our time together? Find out at lunch. Good time to do it. Fellowship meal coming up. Point number 8. We please our Lord when we are fully satisfied by God and his word. 65 to 72. You have dealt with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Teach me good discernment and knowledge, for I believe in your commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. The arrogant have forged a lie against me. With all my heart, I will observe your precepts. Their heart is covered with fat, but I delight in your law. It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces. The psalmist feels blessed because he has learned from his affliction, and now he has grown closer to God and is less prone to wander. This is the sign of a mature Christian. A mature Christian is not one that doesn't sin. A mature Christian is one that when he does sin, is quick to recognize it and repent. Point number 9. We please our Lord when we are quick to respond to the correction from his word. Yod. 37 to 80. Your hands made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. May those who fear you see me and be glad, because I wait for your word. I know, O Lord, that your judgments are righteous, and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. O may your loving kindness comfort me according to your word to your servant. May your compassion come to me that I may live, for your law is my delight. May the arrogant be ashamed, for they subvert me with a lie, but I shall meditate on your precepts. May those who fear you turn to me, even those who know your testimonies. May my heart be blameless in your statutes, so that I will not be ashamed. The psalmist feels certain of God's truth, that it is not only specific to his own life, but as well as to the lives of others. And he wanted to live without shame inwardly, as well as in the eyes of others. Point number 10. We please our Lord when we know the righteousness of God and his word. Kaf. 81 to 88. My soul languishes for your salvation. I wait for your word. My eyes fail with longing for your word. Well, I say, when will you comfort me? Though I have become like a wineskin in the smoke, I do not forget your statutes. How many are the days of your servant? When will you execute judgment on those who persecute me? The arrogant have dug pits for me, men who are not in accord with your law. All your commandments are faithful. They have persecuted me with a lie. Help me. They almost destroyed me on the earth, but as for me, I did not forsake your precepts. Revive me according to your loving kindness, so that I may keep the testimony of your mouth. The psalmist feels alone and forgotten. Feels like a wineskin in the smoke, all shriveled and dried up. Incapable of saving himself, he cries out to God, "Help me." His hope is in God's word, and it strengthens his faith. His determination comes from the fact that he knows this written word comes from the very mouth of God. Romans 5:3-5. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope, and hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Point number 11. We please our Lord when we stand on God's word in the face of opposition. Lamed, 89-96. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Your faithfulness continues throughout all generations. You establish the earth, and it stands. They stand this day according to your ordinances, for all things are your servants. If your law had not been my delight, then I would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have revived me. I am yours, save me, for I have sought your precepts. The wicked wait for me to destroy me. I shall diligently consider your testimonies. I have seen a limit to all perfection. Your commandment is exceedingly broad. The psalmist feels grateful for the proven power of God's word in his life. He recognizes that God's word is eternal, and that he is faithful to all generations. God's plan for the heavens and the earth and all of Adam's descendants is a perfect plan that was true and right before the creation of the world and is true right now and is true and right all the way through eternity. Point number 12. We please our Lord when we recognize that God's word is perfect and eternal. Mem. 97 to 104. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever mine. I have more insight than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, because I have observed your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep your word. I have not turned aside from your ordinances, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. From your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. The psalmist feels like he needs to praise God for his word. He proclaims his love and satisfaction from the proven word of God. He knows that the true source of wisdom and knowledge is God and his word. To him, it is like honey. I have found that the deeper I dig into God's word, that it never stops shedding new light and new understanding into other parts of the word or into my life. Point number 13. We please our Lord when we look to Jesus as our true source of wisdom. None. Verses 105 to 112. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn and I will confirm it that I will keep your righteous ordinances. I am exceedingly afflicted. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word. O accept the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me your ordinances. My life is continually in my hand, yet I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I have not gone astray from your precepts. I have inherited your testimonies forever, for they are the joy of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes forever, even to the end. The psalmist feels he is at one with the Lord. Like Jeremiah 31:33 says, "But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel in those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and on their heart I will write it, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." He acknowledges that God's word is his guide in life and trusts in its truths eternally. Point number 14. We please our Lord when we acknowledge that it is God's word that guides us. Samka 13 to 120. I hate those who are double-minded, but I love your law. You are my hiding place and my shield. I wait for your word. Depart from me, evildoers, that I may observe the commandments of my God. Sustain me according to your word, that I may live, and do not let me be ashamed of my hope. Uphold me, that I may be safe, that I may have regard for your statutes continually. You have rejected all those who wander from your statutes, for their deceitfulness is useless. You have removed all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore, I love your testimonies. My flesh trembles for fear of you, and I am afraid of your judgments. The psalmist feels secure in God's word, especially in the presence of those who have gone astray, proving himself right to fear the Lord's judgments. Double-minded people are those who know God but want the world as well. They serve both God and man. This is prevalent in the church today and is the main reason for the discrediting of God's word. Romans 1, 28 to 32. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And although they know the ordinances of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. Sound familiar? Point number 15. We please our Lord when we are secure in His word, yet forget. We please our Lord when we are secure in His word, yet fear His judgments. 121 to 128. I have done justice and righteousness. Do not leave me to my oppressors. Be surety for your servant for good. Do not let the arrogant oppress me. My eyes fail with longing for your salvation and for your righteous word. Deal with your servant according to your loving kindness and teach me your statutes. I am your servant. Give me understanding that I may know your testimonies. It is time for the Lord to act, for they have broken your law. Therefore, I love your commandments above gold, yes, above fine gold. Therefore, I esteem right all your precepts concerning everything. I hate every false way. The psalmist feels confident in being dealt with by God according to God's loving kindness. He is eager for God to bring justice to his oppressors. They desire to dilute the word of God and condemn those who uphold it. They only move him to have a greater love for God's word. If someone offered you $10 million to never hear or read the word of God, would you take it? Now, this would be fine if you had hidden it in your heart beforehand, then you'd be well off. But if you hadn't, would you take it? I guess it's hard to say. A lot of people trading away the word of God for a lot lesser things than $10 million, just to be respected by their peers, I suppose. Romans 12:18. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him, and if he is thirsty, give him a drink, for in so doing you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Point number 16. We please our Lord when we desire justice according to His word. 129 to 136. Getting there. Your testimonies are wonderful. Therefore, my soul observes them. The unfolding of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. I opened my mouth wide and panted, for I longed for your commandments. Turn to me and be gracious to me, after your manner with those who love your name. Establish my footsteps in your word, and do not let any iniquity have dominion over me. Redeem me from the oppression of man, that I may keep your precepts. Make your face shine upon your servant, and teach me your statutes. My eyes shed streams of water, because they do not keep your law. The psalmist feels pain because of those around him not keeping God's wonderful law. Wow, do we feel pain when we see the world around us? Or do we just feel anger and frustration? Everyone can be saved. Salvation is attainable by everyone. Before I became a believer, when I was evaluating whether I was going to become a Christian or not, that was one of my chief questions. Is Christianity available to everyone? When I was looking at other religions, is Christianity available to absolutely everyone? And it is the only faith that is available to every single individual to receive. That's not what sealed the deal for me, but that was one of my questions. Can everyone be saved? Even the simple can be saved. Point number 17. We please our Lord when we have faith in His Word in all areas of our life. Decide. 137 to 144. Righteous are you, O Lord, and upright are your judgments. You have commanded your testimonies in righteousness and exceeding faithfulness. My zeal has consumed me because my adversaries have forgotten your words. Your word is very pure, therefore your servant loves it. I am small and despised, yet I do not forget your precepts. Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your law is truth. Trouble and anguish have come upon me, yet your commandments are my delight. Your testimonies are righteous forever. Give me understanding that I may live. The psalmist feels on fire for the Lord, emboldened to stand on the true word of God in spite of opposition overcoming him. He has come to have a righteousness not of himself, but of God. Point number 18. We please our Lord when we realize the pure nature of God's word and love it. Comf. 145 to 152. Contradiction here, Lord. Not contradiction. This is where it goes. So there he was over, very confident, on fire with the Lord. And now, I cried with all my heart, answer me, O Lord. I will observe your statutes. I cried to you, save me, and I shall keep your testimonies. I rise before dawn, and I cry for help. I wait for your words. My eyes anticipate the night watches that I may meditate on your word. Hear my voice according to your loving kindness. Revive me, O Lord, according to your ordinances. Those who follow after wickedness draw near. They are far from your law. You are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are truth. Of old I have known from your testimonies that you have founded them forever. Now the psalmist feels alone and in pain, crying out to the Lord in prayer, waiting to hear God's word. He is desperate for God's word. It is his source for strength and for life. Point number 19. We please our Lord when we depend on his word as our source of strength. Resh. 153 to 160. Look upon my affliction and rescue me, for I do not forget your law. Plead my cause and redeem me. Revive me according to your word. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek your statutes. Great are your mercies, O Lord. Revive me according to your ordinances. Many are my persecutors and my adversaries, yet I do not turn aside from your testimonies. I behold the treacherous and loathe them because they do not keep your word. Consider how I love your precepts. Revive me, O Lord, according to your loving kindness. The sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous ordinances is everlasting. The psalmist feels that he is in need of someone to rescue him, someone to revive him to everlasting life. Point number 20. We please our Lord when we look to Jesus for deliverance from our sin. Shin. 161 to 168. Princes persecute me without cause, but my heart stands in awe of your words. I rejoice at your word as one who finds great spoil. I hate and despise falsehood, but I love your law. Seven times a day I praise you because of your righteous ordinances. Those who love your law have great peace, and nothing causes them to stumble. I hope for your salvation, O Lord, and do your commandments. My soul keeps your testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I keep your precepts and your testimonies, for all my ways are before you. The psalmist feels, in spite of all the persecution, he has a great peace because of his love and awe of God's word. He waits patiently for his Lord to answer. Point number 21. We please our Lord when we have peace from his word in times of trouble. And finally, Tav. 169 to 176. Let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. Let my supplication come before you. Deliver me according to your word. Let my lips utter praise, for you teach me your statutes. Let my tongue sing of your word, for all your commandments are righteousness. Let your hand be ready to help me, for I have chosen your precepts. I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. Let my soul live that it may praise you, and let your ordinances help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. The psalmist feels total trust in the Lord, and with a broken and humble heart, confesses that he cannot stay true on his own, that he is a lost sheep and in need of the Lord's saving grace. Romans 7:21. I find then the principle that evil is present in me, the one who wants to do good. For I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man, but I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind, making me a prisoner of the law of sin, which is in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, on the one hand, I myself with my mind am serving the law of God, but on the other, my flesh, the law of sin. Point number 22, final point. We please our Lord when we pray in harmony with his word. When we have a hunger and a desire for God's word, like the psalmist, then we will be willing to be blessed, willing to be a blessing to God and to be blessed by him. When there is rejoicing over one sinner that repents, like it says in Luke 15:7, I tell you that in the same way there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. And Luke 15:10, in the same way I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. How much more rejoicing must there be when men take God's word to heart and seek him like the psalmist? A plain reading of the Bible points to its divine origin. But how can we know for certain? How can we know if the Bible is the inspired word of God or just a book written by men? Jesus gives us the answer for determining the validity and truthfulness of the Bible in John 7:14 to 18. But when it was now the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and began to teach. The Jews then were astonished, saying, "How has this man become learned, having never been educated?" So Jesus answered them and said, "My teaching is not mine, but his who sent me. If anyone is willing to do his will, he will know of the teaching, whether it is of God or whether I speak from myself. He who speaks from himself seeks his own glory, but he who is seeking the glory of the one who sent him, he is true, and there is no unrighteousness in him." The only way for you to prove the truth of the Bible is to believe it and then do what it says. Then God will prove it. And you should share it. Talk to Pastor Stacy about sharing your testimony with us. Isaiah 55:11-12. "So will my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. For you will go out with joy, be led forth with peace. The mountain and the hills will break forth with shouts of joy before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you praise. We thank you for being our God, for calling us to be your children, for adopting us into your family through the shedding of your Son's blood. And Father, we thank you for the word and the truth that's in it, and Lord, that we can hold it, that we can take it to heart, and Lord, that we can hide it away and meditate on it, and Lord, we can come to a deeper and greater understanding of who you are, and Lord, of your desires for us, and Lord, that we can know your will for our life. And Father, we thank you for your faithfulness in sustaining us and watching over us and allowing us to be a part of your body here at Olivet Church. And Father, I just pray that you'd be with each individual here, that you'd be moving in our hearts, that you'd just be giving us a hunger for your word, and Lord, a desire to take it and to apply it to our lives, and Lord, to share it with others, and Lord, the desire to be a blessing to others through your word. And Father, I just thank you for the many people here that, Lord, desire to know your word, to know your truth, and Lord, the desire to share it and to, Lord, to bring those who haven't heard your word, who do not know your truth, those who are hurting in this world, that, Lord, we desire for them to come to know you. And Father, I just pray that you would be giving us your love for this, the lost, and Lord, that you'd be giving us the love for each other, Lord, that we would love each other, Lord, in a way that brings honor and glory to you, that would cause the world to look at us and say, why are we so different, and why do we do what we do? And Father, I just pray that all the things we do it to bring honor and glory to you and to further your kingdom and to bring joy and glory to your name. Lord, we just thank you for your word, and Lord, thank you for the words from the psalmist and the truth that he shares, Lord, and the truth of life. When we go through our life with you, Lord, it is a testimony that is worthy to be shared. Lord, I just thank you for all the testimonies that you have here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.